Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. Today's Thursday, December 7th. It's Week 14, and this Sunday, the Jaguars host the Seattle Seahawks in a battle of 8-4 teams. Plenty to get to today, including a visit with the voice of the Seahawks, Steve Rabel. We'll see if there's still another December run in the Hawks. Also, a visit with the AP Jaguars beat writer, Mark Long. We'll dig a little deeper into the 8-4 Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's start off with a build-up for this football game coming up Sunday. By records, it's the biggest game around here in a long time. A pair of 8-4 teams meeting up in December with big playoff implications for both sides. Quarterback Russell Wilson for the Seahawks is playing at an MVP level. His ability to make plays off script is a problem for defenses, and he gets out of the pocket, buys time, runs around, buys some more time, and then throws downfield, or ends up running against the defense chasing receivers. He's easily the leading rusher for the Seahawks as well. On Jaguars Monday radio this week, Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli, and I discussed Russell Wilson and the Seahawks defense.
Russell's good.
Is he going to win the MVP?
He's in the conversation.
Pete came around. Finally.
I did come around. I still think he takes too many 25-yard drops for my liking. But look, the guy's playing shorthanded with a bad team, bad line. The defense isn't what it used to be. Though the defense played pretty well against Philly. I'm going to give them their due in that game.
They gave up 10 points.
And they can still rush the passer. I mean, Frank Clark is a good player. Michael Bennett is a handful for whoever blocks him. And those young guys inside are getting better. And we know K.J. Wright and Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner might be the defensive player of the year. That's how well he's playing. So, yeah, it's not the same team, but it's a handful now.
Yeah, they can't cover on the back end like they did with Sherman in there, but they're still good.
Listen to Jaguars Monday each week at 6 o'clock on 1010XL Radio, Jaguars.com, the Jags app, and Jags social media. In the locker room this week, there was plenty of talk about Wilson and the Seahawks. Jaguars defensive tackle Malik Jackson, he's realistic about defending Wilson this week.
That's one of the things that we respect Russell in his ability. We respect his line and the way they're able to block. But we can't let that hinder us and go out there and make us a little scared. We have to go out there and rush like we've been rushing. We understand we have to have more awareness for the quarterback. We can't let him be having open lanes and not balancing the rush and knowing where we're all supposed to be. And we just have to make sure we play as a team as far as the D-line, and because it's going to be one of our hardest challenges this week at running quarterback. He's going to get out one time, you know, and the key, we'd be crazy to say we're going to contain him. That'd be crazy, you know. So he's going to get out, but we have to make sure we just keep a lid on it. You know, we can't let him get 20, 30-yard, 40-yard runs. You know, if he's going to get out 10 yards, you know, we'll lift up another down. So I think it's just about going out, just having a plan. You know, I mean, I'm not going to say we're going to give up yards on the quarterback, but you know, I'd be crazy to say, well, he's not going to get any rushing yards. So we just got to make sure we just have a plan.
When he gets out, he becomes a runner. Mm-hmm. Then he can establish himself as a passer again. Yeah. For you guys, you got to know when that moment is because the referee can see it another way, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it was the Eagles game where we saw him run. And he was running down the field, and then like 20 yards down the field, pitched it to somebody on the side of him. So it's one of those things, you know, as a D-line, we got to make sure we're running the ball. Everybody has to make sure we just continue to work to that ball and get the guy down, whoever has the ball, because a guy like Russell, especially with the ball in his hands, can create plays and just do special things. And he's a very special quarterback. So I'm happy we get to play on this right now. You know, it's going to be a better time, a better week, a better situation for us, and to see where we're at as a team with this team coming in town. So I'm excited.
From a secondary perspective, Tashawn Gibson, the Jags safety, knows covering receivers for an extended time is an issue.
Nobody wants to cover for 10 seconds, man. You know, it's hard enough covering guys for 3 and 4 seconds in this league. So when you have to cover a guy, man, for 7, 8, 9, 10 seconds, I mean, that's a tough challenge, man. It don't matter if, you know, it's a wide receiver for the Bulls High School, man. It's going to be tough to just chase a guy for 10 seconds, man. And so it's going to be a challenge, man. And like I said, they got good receivers, man, who don't get enough credit. And you combine that with who I think is, you know, a top three tier quarterback in this league, it's going to be a challenge for sure, man. I think that's why we work drills to kind of get ourselves ready and prepared, man, because about 40% of his snaps, man, is not traditional drop back. It's him playing backyard football. Like if this was Madden back in the day, we would say you only get 3 runs. You can only scramble 3 times, man. It's cheating. You know, you can't be scrambling that much, man, with a guy like that. So he got the cheat code for sure. So we got to be real disciplined on the back end for sure.
The Seahawks are a perennial powerhouse in the NFC. They've won a Super Bowl, lost another by a yard, and they've been a headache for NFC teams over the last 5 to 6 years. The defense for the Seahawks is without a couple of key starters. Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman are out with injuries, but don't let that fool you. They still have a handful of Pro Bowlers on the field. Bobby Wagner is playing at a high level at linebacker, and Michael Bennett can still rush the passer up front. We'll get more on the Seahawks coming up shortly with the voice of the Seahawks, Steve Rabel. Now to the hype of this game. Fox Television flexed the kickoff time from 1 o'clock to 4:25. And even though it is opposite the Eagles-Rams game, there will still be plenty of eyes on this one. For head coach Doug Marrone, he's not the type to treat this week differently from any other.
Like I'll ask the team, what does that do? Is that going to help us win the game? You know, and try to just present it that way. I think whatever's on the outside, that's great. That's awesome. We don't want people not to talk about it. That's fine. That's great. They deserve that and should and all of that. So, you know, we acknowledge that part of it. But we also have to acknowledge the part of, hey, we have to be focused, you know, on what we've been doing, you know, and get better at some things, you know, so that we can be able to perform on Sunday. And all the other stuff that's going on around is pulling away from that. And let's keep our focus like we have been. And that's pretty much how I explain it to him.
In the locker room this week, Jalen Ramsey wasn't having any of the hype for the Seahawks.
Can it be a statement game for you guys? Because of who they are?
What's their record?
8-4, same as yours.
All right.
Former Super Bowl champs, perennial playoff contender.
All right, we were sorry last year, but we're not this year. We ain't talking about last year. Y'all got to stop, man. Y'all got to stop doing that, man. In the media, y'all do that too much. Y'all be hyping people up. Y'all hype teams up. Stop doing that, man. Y'all got to stop doing that. It's a new year. It's a new week. Everything. It's new big dogs in around the NFL. Y'all got to stop doing that. Stop hyping people up. Same thing I just told him. Y'all going to hype up who y'all want to hype up. Y'all not going to hype up who y'all don't want to hype up. I mean, we still having the same conversation we've had all year. I mean, we beat the hell out of Pittsburgh. They got a better record than both of us right now. Y'all wasn't hyping us up after that, so do I think y'all going to hype us up after this game? Nah, whether we win or lose. Y'all, it is what it is with y'all.
That's a little different sound than Malik Jackson, and they're right next to each other in the locker room. When he talks, Ramsey is always a must-listen. Now to our visit with the voice of the Seahawks, Steve Rabel. He's a former wide receiver from Georgia Tech and an original Seahawks player, a draft pick of the franchise in their first year, playing opposite Steve Largent. Rabel is now sports director at KIRO Television in Seattle and has been in the booth for the Seahawks since 1982, 22 years as an analyst, and since 2004 in the play-by-play role. And holy catfish, we've got the voice of the Seahawks, Steve Rabel, with us. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm hanging in there. This has been kind of a little bit of an up and down season at times, but it has been great fun here, especially after the game against the Eagles on Sunday night. But we've had our share of close losses too, and games that kind of stunk up the joint. And the Washington Redskins game is one that I think of immediately. So this team, you know, they're still trying to kind of figure themselves out. There's a bit of a transition with some of the new players who are coming in. But all in all, with Pete Carroll, and when you got a franchise quarterback like Russell Wilson, this is their time of year, and they have traditionally done well in December.
Yeah, December run seems to kind of be the key for this team. You know, even with all the guys out, you still have four or five Pro Bowlers on the field on defense, and that's really where this thing starts for the Seattle franchise, at least over the years historically there. There's still a very dangerous defense on that side.
They really are. You take out arguably our best pass rusher in Cliff Avril, and you lose Richard, and you lose Cam. And still, you're just able to kind of reload, put a couple of young guys in the secondary. I think such a terrific move the Seahawks made in the offseason. We couldn't see it coming when it happened, but to go out and get Bradley McDougal as a free agent who can play both free safety and strong safety, he'll replace Cliff the rest of the season. Cam the rest of the season. Cam Chancellor, and then the situation with Earl was hurt for a couple of games, and he went in at free safety as well. He has played well in that secondary.
Steve Rabel with us, the voice of the Seattle Seahawks. Flipping it over to the offense now, Russell Wilson is becoming an MVP candidate. He's having that kind of a season right now for this football team. you know, he runs around. He can get out of the pocket. He's holding the ball for 10, 12 seconds. That causes havoc down the field in two different ways, throwing the ball or running after that. What are some pros and cons of that type of play? Because I'm sure you've seen it both ways with Russell this year.
Well, certainly the pros are the plays that he makes, the way that he can get out of trouble, find a receiver downfield. His receivers are in tune with that. They know where to go, where to be, when to get there, and how to make themselves available for their quarterback, and also his ability to run. You can't account for that in the defense. You can try. You can have a spy. You can have a linebacker stand back there and just do nothing but watch the quarterback and go everywhere he goes. But Russell ultimately is going to outrun that linebacker, so you better have somebody that's fast enough to be able to make that play. Ultimately, I think what defenses will try to do is try to hem him in. Don't let him get outside the pocket and get enough push up the middle that he can't step up and make his throws. That's where he is susceptible, is to having to get rid of the ball by stepping up into the pocket and try to throw over defenders, because all those guys are bigger than he is, and it's a little tough for him to see, quite frankly, especially crossing routes, short crossing routes. But short of that, everything that he does virtually, now he'll force one every now and then. He believes that he will complete every pass. He believes that there's no situation that he can't get himself out of. Consequently, he'll take a sack sometimes when he shouldn't. But for the most part, Russell makes those decisions. He makes them correctly. He's as good as anybody I've seen, and I've played in the day of Fran Tarkington and those guys, to be able to throw on the run, to be able to move and keep your eyes downfield, and to find a receiver, especially downfield. Doug Baldwin has an uncanny sense for getting open for his quarterback. So those are the kinds of things that have worked for the Seahawks. They've worked since Russell got here, and they'll continue to work. And quite frankly, what's a really pleasant surprise for all of us is that the running game is starting to come around a little bit, with Mike Davis being installed as the fourth now opportunity and running back that we've had, maybe the fifth. And hopefully we'll get Chris Carson back before this season ends.
Steve Rabel with us, voice of the Seattle Seahawks. 2013 was the last meeting between these teams, and that was a long time ago in more ways than one for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Different regime, a totally different football team, obviously. I think the Seahawks were 19.5-point favorites that day at CenturyLink Field, and this is a different animal now. What's the view of the Jaguars from the Pacific Northwest right now?
Well, our first thought is terrific running attack. You lead the league in rushing almost 150 yards a game. There was a day when the Seahawks did that. Not anymore, by a long stretch. That's the key to your guys' offense, is the ability of Fournette to run the football and the ability of Bortles, quite frankly, to play off of that, the play-action passes, the opportunity to get the ball. It doesn't necessarily throw deep as much, perhaps, as Carson Wentz liked to the other night, but he is very accurate when he's throwing those underneath routes. He has turned the ball over a little bit, not as much as earlier in his career, but he's like any quarterback, a young quarterback coming along. Takes a little while to learn and understand this game. I think the key, though, really, in my estimation, to Jacksonville is the growth of that defense. And it was put together by Gus Bradley, who was here and with the Seahawks and was a coordinator for us, obviously, and taught this defense Pete's style of play, Pete Carroll, and is now, he took that to Jacksonville and started to load up that defense with those kind of athletes. So you guys, defensively, and especially now with Calais Campbell in there, he has always been a pain in our backside. I think that's going to be the biggest concern for the Seahawks going into this game. A, long trip all the way across country. How do you keep from having a little bit of a letdown after a huge win against the Eagles here at home? And how do you try to control a little bit of defense that has been playing very, very well.
Our thanks to Steve Rabel. Hear more from him this Sunday on the Public's Tailgate Show. Now a closer look at the Jags. This week we visit with Associated Press Jaguars beat writer Mark Long.
The Jaguars, Mark, are 8-4. The Seahawks are 8-4. That means this is a pretty darn big ball game on Sunday.
Huge game. Both 5 seeds projected right now for the respective conferences. Winner obviously solidifies its playoff position. Loser moves a little closer to being outside that playoff picture. So unbelievable ramifications. And for the Jags, unbelievable ramifications in December for the first time in a decade. So when you look at it from that thing, there's no reason for everybody inside the building, outside the building, in the city, around the city, to be just stoked for this game. And, you know, hopefully they get a great crowd out there and give this team what it deserves, which is the kind of support that Seattle gets back home.
Doug Marrone doesn't really like to go there. He's more of a let's win the quarter type of guy, first game of the final quarter of the season. Do you think the players will give you a little something this week on that, or are they going to kind of follow Marrone's lead here?
No, I think the players will acknowledge that this is a statement game. Listen, if you want to be who they think they are and who they want to be and all of those things, who they can be, obviously, this is the kind of game you got to win. It's at home. It's in December. It's against a team that's banged up, and you're fairly healthy. You're playing pretty good ball, coming off a pretty big win at home. This is the game you got to win. And, you know, we'll write it, and Doug said he won't even mention that it's a statement game, but he'll welcome people talking about that. There's no doubt it's a statement game. It's a statement game for the Jags wanting to, if Doug can say, listen, we want to try to win a quarter, go undefeated in a quarter. They've won the last two quarters, 500 in the first quarter, but they ideally win all four here and go in the playoffs with a little momentum. So it starts against Seattle. It's an unbelievable test. And a lot of people have looked at this team as Seattle 2.0. So it's kind of like playing the big brother kind of thing because, you know, as Maurice Jones-Drew said last week, who was here in town, he said they're better than Seattle. They do Seattle better than Seattle did Seattle in 2013, which is saying a lot. But if you're going to be that and live up to that, you need to beat that, you know?
Mark Long with us. Let's go offense here. Blake Bortles. You know, the offense, when it can finally get to the red zone, which is a question mark sometimes, it's been very good in the red zone, especially Blake Bortles this year. You know, 2 weeks ago, he had a lot of throws that were dropped that were on the money, but the receivers couldn't make plays. Last week, very accurate again. Guys are making plays last week for him against Indianapolis. Can he do it again? Can he sustain this? I asked this on Monday nights. Can he sustain that type of performance the final month of the season?
I don't know if he can sustain it against Seattle. I will say this. Seattle's a different defense than what the Colts are, and it's night and day, and you're going to see that. And so Bortles will get different looks. He's going to have different personnel. He's going to have tighter windows. He's going to have more pressure. All of those things are going to play a role. I think he can do it, though. I really do, and I think it's tougher, but I think he did it the last 2 weeks. I think against Cleveland, a lot of the balls that he threw were good balls, perfect balls, right where they needed to be, wasn't getting the help from his receivers. Last week was a totally different deal. Marquise Lee makes a one-handed, spinning, backwards, sideways catch. Dede Westbrook caught all but – I think one ball thrown to him. Keelan Cole did catch everything thrown to him. So the guys who have been dropping balls on him were all of a sudden money. And so that makes his numbers look better and makes a world of difference, especially on those third downs and you keep drives alive and whatnot. but I think he can do it. I think Blake Bortles has been absolutely what this franchise has needed, with the exception of, you know, the late game. The two late game collapses are going to stand out. The game against the Chargers and the game against the Cardinals, where he just had these late game crucial mistakes in games that were tight, games that you need to win, and you can't have those. He knows that. Everybody in the building knows it. But if he's able to overcome that, and I think that's a big step for this team, is they're winning all these blowouts. Can they win a crucial game? Can Blake take them down the field and win a crucial game? He has done it in the past. He obviously has that ability. But he needs to get it done, no doubt.
It's very clear right now that Leonard Fournette is not healthy, and he has said as much, that he's not going to be healthy until really he has a month or two to get right after the season's over. So if he's not right, first off, at what point do you rest him to get ready for a potential playoff? And second, who else is going to run the football around here? Because they haven't been able to really consistently do that the last few weeks.
I think that's a great question. I think they should rest him if they get in a position where they could do it. I don't know that they will do it. And the reason I say that is last week he hobbles off the field, and three plays later he's back on the field. I mean, in a game that was a 20-point game. It wasn't like it was a tight ball game and you're trying to get your best player out there. It's a blowout. The game has been decided. Leonard Fournette hobbles off the field, and he ends up right back on the field, basically what you'd think is doing more damage. But it's very clear that he's not right. The last four games, he has three run plays over 10 yards. So that's it. And early in the season, he was breaking off 11, 15, 75, 90. He was breaking off huge runs every game. And now the last four games, he's got three of them over 10 yards. So clearly he's not right. It also coincides with the offensive line not being right in terms of Parnell missing three games, Patrick Omeh missing three. So those guys need to be healthy. Got to play through a lot of nicks and bumps and bruises and things like that. And so does Leonard Fournette. But he needs to get right. They need to find a way to get him right. When, if that happens, I don't know. But I, your point is, should they rush him? They should, if they get in a position that they can. But I don't know that they will.
Right. That's a big challenge. Mark Long is with us. Defensively, they're right near the top of the league in takeaways. They're number one in sacks. They're number one in total defense. The list goes on and on. They're doing all the statistical things. But what's the next step for the defense? What can they do down the stretch here to really push this football team to the postseason?
Geez, I don't know. That's a good one. I don't know that they need to do anything else. They're doing everything right. They've given up some big plays. Certainly not so much last week, but last week they gave up a big play. They gave up the 40-yard mm-hmm. pass play, a little bit of a fluke on 4th-and-2 there, missed coverage, and T.Y. Hilton goes the distance for a 40-yarder. They gave up the two big pass plays the week before mm-hmm. at Arizona. So to me, that's what they got to do. They've been unbelievable all season. They've scored more points than any defense in the NFL. They've given up fewer points than any defense in the NFL. They lead the defense. They lead the NFL in total yards, sacks, turnover margin, you know, passing, everything, you know, that you need to lead the league in. They do it. They've done all these things right. But to me, recently, if you look at what haven't they done recently, it's they haven't prevented those big plays. And now all of a sudden you play a team like Seattle that's their offense, is Russell Wilson creating, buying some time, and then throwing deep to a Doug Baldwin or somebody like that, Paul Richardson, edge, you know, the tight end, and making plays happen. So that's the one thing I would say about this defense, and that's being super ultra critical of a unit that's been unbelievably better than what we thought, and we thought they were going to be pretty good.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Jaguars defensive backs this week. How long can they cover a guy? Because Wilson's going to roll out and spend 10, 12 seconds rolling around if the Jags defensive line allows him to, and it's a matter of Ramsey and Boye and those guys. It's the best challenge they've had, maybe not because of the talent across from them, but because of the way they have to cover this Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt those guys will have their hands full, because not only do you have to cover those guys for 3, 4, 5 seconds, but you also got to keep an eye on Russell Wilson, because if you're going to play a lot of man, and the Jags do play a lot of man on the back end, you know, that lends itself to a rushing quarterback, because, you know, you got your eyes turned, your back to the quarterback, and he gets out in space and he's gone. So they got to be wary of that. So it's an unbelievable test for them. I think, and again, just my gut tells me the difference in this is going to be he will not be out of the pocket, that they're going to just abuse that Seattle offensive line, and he's going to be running for his life, kind of like 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks have already this season against the Jags.
Thanks to Mark Long from the AP for his time this week. A few notes. We're in the midst of the Salute to Service holiday auction benefiting military members and their families. The Jags are partnering with NFL teams around the country and Fanatics for an auction featuring autographed memorabilia from top NFL players and coaches. The auction ends at midnight, Monday, December 11th. Check out the items at fanaticsauctions.com/JaguarsMilitary. Coming up this week, the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network, Thursday night at 6. That's followed on 1010XL Radio in Jacksonville at 7 by Jaguars Thursday. Both shows are available on Jaguars.com, the Jags app, and Jags social media. Jaguars Drive Time airs Friday morning on Jaguars.com and the TuneIn app. Then on Sunday, it's EverBank Jaguars Weekend TV, airing at 10:30 a.m. on Fox 30. Then we get set for the Seahawks and the Jaguars starting at 1:30. With a public tailgate show on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars Radio Network coverage starts at 3:30 with Countdown to Kickoff featuring Pete Prisco, Fred Taylor, and the final word with head coach Doug Marrone.
Our thanks to the voice of the Seahawks, Steve Rabel, and AP Jaguars beat writer Mark Long. And also thanks to Jags manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. We'll talk to you next week on the J.P. Shadrick Podcast.